much you want to bet?
I don't bet.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
It's the Monday edition of the Bet the Board podcast. Thank you for stopping by as we put a bow on week 15 and, of course, preview New Orleans' trip to Soldier Field to take on the Bears. Tells you what kind of weekend I've had at the end of the podcast. And, of course, our surprises, teams that played well, teams that disappointed. We'll be joined in just a matter of seconds by Payne Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Payne Insider or follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman. And, Payne, when we look at the week that recently completed, we're down to 21 teams vying for their place in the NFL playoffs. What teams really jumped off the page in terms of good or bad performances for you this last weekend?
You know, it wasn't anything completely surprising. The Broncos were very good defensively, kind of transitioning and getting geared up for the playoffs. They are going to need that defense to come every single week now the way Peyton Manning is playing. So it's very I just thought the Chargers would get things going a little bit offensively, but they didn't. So that was good to see for a team that's potentially moving forward, because the Broncos will absolutely need that defense if they're going to have any shot to beat Brady and Belichick. So that was one of the key performances I was looking at and trying to watch pretty much every snap of that game just to gauge things moving forward for the time that's going to matter the rest of the season.
I guess we'd be remiss, you know, talking about that, and you look at Denver, definitely the defense has stepped up. The one thing that I'd be a little bit concerned about for the Broncos is the amount of field goals they're settling for on these drives, especially in the red zone. You know, only getting into the end zone one time. We saw similar struggles, you know, against St. Louis on the road, and this team clearly doesn't seem to be clicking on all cylinders offensively, but maybe they're getting into more of playoff mode. And I guess for a team that disappointed me, that didn't click on any cylinder whatsoever offensively, Johnny Manziel's much-awaited NFL debut and start, and him and the Cleveland Browns muster a grand total of 107 yards on offense.
I believe it was 5 first downs total for the entire game, 2 of which were helped by the Zebras in the flag. Not really a surprising game there. I know one that we kind of talked about all week, and we kind of suggested that where the line was heading was kind of phony, and that came to be true. So wasn't a complete surprise there, but you know, it's probably pretty disappointing for Browns fans. It was a pretty anemic effort, and I know it's his first start, but there wasn't a lot of positive or anything positive to take from that start. When you kind of break down some of the other quarterbacks, it has not been good for Blake Bortles, but there are segments in the game, quarters of the game, pieces of the game where you say, okay, you know, the light bulbs come on, there's progress, it looks like this might be a guy that has a shot. You didn't see any of that from Johnny Manziel. He looks like a midget out there. The arm strength is not very good, and that was pretty concerning.
Yeah, I was going to say, he clearly needs to go back and do a little bit more film study about maybe this was a humbling experience a talented quarterback needs if he's ever going to be able to make an impact at this level. And if we talk about teams that, you know, were disappointing offensively, I'll make the case that Philadelphia was arguably the most disappointing team defensively against Dallas. They spotted the Cowboys a 21-0 lead. Mark Sanchez leads a 24-point rally to give Philadelphia the lead before they promptly surrender points. And now Philadelphia very much on the outside looking in of the NFC playoff picture.
Yeah, they got punched in the face early on. An unfortunate break to kind of start the game. The sails kind of deflated early there on the kickoff. So they did respond, and you thought the momentum was going to continue in that direction after taking the lead in the third quarter, but the Cowboys seized momentum. That was really a gritty performance by the Cowboys. They are, you know, a little lackluster the past month or so, but that was a real playoff performance. And the Cowboys, you know, barring this DeMarco Murray injury, I think are going to have a decent shot in the playoffs.
Only the second time in NFL history you've seen a road team score 30-plus points or more for 6 straight games, a pretty impressive feat for Dallas, which speaks volumes about the newfound balance that they had. Although there'll be an injury concern this week, which we'll obviously cover in more detail on Thursday, DeMarco Murray going under the knife as of Monday, having surgery on a broken hand. Hasn't officially been ruled out for Sunday's game against the Colts, but should be worth monitoring, especially for those folks headed to a fantasy football championship who may want to pick up Joseph Randall. Other than, you know, some of the games we mentioned, Payne, any major surprises as far as good or bad performances? I know the general public probably surprised by how bad Aaron Rodgers looked against Buffalo, but as we said on Thursday, that was going to be one of the sharpest positions from the professionals, taking Buffalo at any price at 3.5 or better.
Yeah, that was the side. I'm not sure how poor his performance was. A lot of drops by some of his receivers, especially Jordy Nelson. That stat line could have been a little different. I believe I marked 8 drops in that game, so I wouldn't put it all on Aaron Rodgers. The other offense in that same division that you really just have to question at this point, if it's going to be anything moving forward, is the Lions offense. This offense with Calvin Johnson and Reggie Bush and Matthew Stafford, for whatever reason, this offense just looks horrible. No matter who they face, whether they're at home, I guess maybe a decent showing on Thanksgiving Day, but that was against the Bears and that defense, not a ton to be said there. But that's really, if the Lions are going to move forward, they are going to need something from this offense. And again, despite the win, another disappointing performance from the Lions offense.
And never a good thing to go down 14-0 at home to the Vikings in a game you have to have. To the Lions' credit, they do have a defense that they've been able to rely on, unlike years past. And of course, Payne, before we switch gears and start to look at some of the advance lines and where the markets have moved, we'd be remiss if we didn't allow you this chance to get on your pedestal and talk about the performance we saw up at Foxborough from the Miami Dolphins.
You know, I think you kind of have to create your own good fortune, create your own luck, create your own breaks by doing things the right way. And we saw early in that game, the Dolphins were going to take shots, and they took shots early, something they haven't done all year. So on that opening drive, you're able to hit Mike Wallace on the sideline. And again, it probably should have been a touchdown, but that's Tannehill's weakness. But on a 3rd-and-6 call early in that game, you decide to run a pitch 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage and then settle for a field goal. It ends up getting blocked. It zaps all your momentum, gets returned for a touchdown. Playing to lose, you're just not going to kick field goals and win in Foxborough. So from that point forward, it was just kind of a gutless call, a lot of gutless calls there in the first half from the Dolphins. Granted, they got the momentum score before halftime, but poor performance in the second half, not a lot of good adjustments. We know Belichick is the king of adjustments. He typically has 2 game plans for every game. And he just really outcoached Philbin. It will be interesting to see what happens from this Dolphins team in the last 2 games, 2 very winnable games. And my feeling is Philbin's going to have to win both of them to have a shot at retaining his job. Lots of talks about improvement for this team where guys being fired. 9-7 would be an improvement. Now, I know a lot of people were talking playoffs, but it's a team that has not had a winning record in over a half decade, so 9-7 would be an improvement. I think he'll need both of those games in good performances moving forward to potentially keep his job.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Miami and the potential they have there, some disappointing results, and clearly now an uphill battle to get into the thick of things in the AFC and potentially get to the postseason. Going to need plenty of help, especially with Buffalo getting that win against Green Bay and knowing how things will work in that particular spot. And as we always do, we'll take a look at the look-ahead lines, but just to kind of reset things a bit, the man on the other end of the line, he of PainInsider.com. You can find his great work there or follow him on Twitter at PainInsider. I'm Todd Furman. Follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman or visit my website, ToddsTake.com. And Payne, Thursday night, of course, we'll cover this game in great detail whether we want to or not. The Titans and Jaguars will see history being made in North Florida, as the Jaguars will be listed as a favorite, barring some huge money coming in on Tennessee, for the first time in 42 football games. This number looked like it was going to be -2 going into this weekend, and the price has ticked out to -3. Any surprise there that you're seeing some odds makers adjustments onto the key number of 3 for the Jags?
Well, you know, they had a gutsy performance on the road, covered the number. That was another one of our leans last week. Tennessee just not showing any fight. We've talked about this team basically quitting on their coach. Jake Locker looks like he's going to go again. So, I mean, I would prefer if Mettenberger was here. Locker is going to be playing for his next contract. But, the Jaguars are a team that have not quit. And I think that's probably the right move there, putting it 2-3. It'll be interesting where this goes. For these two teams, not a ton of national publicized games. Now you're getting this standalone game. Neither offense is great, but you would think this would have a backyard feel to it. It'll be interesting to see where this total goes. It's ticked down a little bit, but I don't know how real that early move is.
And, of course, like we always do on Thursdays, we'll cover this game in a lot more extensive detail. Some of the information, injuries, and positions being taken by some of the sharpest bettors become clear. We'll start to share that. Two games on Saturday as well, Payne. We've seen some money already on one of the dogs. The 49ers on the look-ahead line, 2.5 minus 120. Those 2.5s have disappeared, even seeing one prominent offshore hanging this game at minus 1 right now, albeit with some juice attached to it. You know, where do we think this number goes? We have to imagine we're going to see more money coming on the Chargers as San Francisco season effectively came to an end up there in Seattle, knowing they've been eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we saw the threes that were available were grabbed. You know, I think the injury bug has hit San Francisco, and you know, we talked about this off the podcast, but most likely a lot of those guys are going to be sat this week. Would not be shocked if San Diego closes a small favorite here in a game that they absolutely have to win. Not a huge amount of travel, you know, for the short week, so I don't think that really plays a huge role. But I think that continues to trend downwards.
Another interesting move, too, that we saw. We saw Pittsburgh actually open a 3.5-point favorite. Yeah, 3.5 even, although the look-ahead number had the Steelers listed at 3 minus 20. All those hooks disappeared earlier this Monday morning, so a little bit surprised books elected to use that particular number. Some of the biggest moves, and now this one, of course, had an injury. The Texans would have been listed about as a 1-point favorite with Ryan Fitzpatrick under center. Now you're seeing Baltimore, a 4.5-point favorite. Now, of course, it's not a number that's available in every book. A little bit surprised that books have made that big a change between Fitzpatrick to Tom Savage under center.
Tom Savage is
you can
pretty
choose
bad.
Your words wisely. Tom Savage's family, as far as we know, does not listen to this podcast, so you can be as honest and forthright as you'd like here.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, another game that's a must-win for Baltimore, and Houston all but eliminated this past Sunday in Indianapolis. You get Tom Savage, and really that's the question mark, how healthy is even Tom Savage going to be? You know, he got bruised up, banged up with that knee late in the game. Anyone that had Houston, that was probably the dead nut right side there, unfortunate break there with the quarterback injury early on in that game. This one for me, you know, not a game that I'm probably going to be on right now, but I certainly couldn't back Houston here in this spot. Tom Savage is a significant downgrade. I know everyone is enamored with his big arm, but aside from that, wasn't great at Pittsburgh. I just don't know what to make of him or if he's even going to be healthy. So it'll be interesting to see who actually gets the nod at quarterback.
It's time to get excited about Thaddeus Lewis possibly taking snaps down there in Houston. So we should all circle the wagons for the former Buffalo Bill. Of course, one of the other numbers that I was a little bit surprised to see such a change in the market. Look-ahead lines had the Cowboys listed at a pick'em against the Indianapolis Colts. As we mentioned earlier, the injury to DeMarco Murray changes that a little bit. But Dallas opening a 3-point favorite. We know the Cowboys have been a much better team away from home than they have in their own building. And this potentially a matchup that actually could favor the Colts, given their ability to throw the ball against the Dallas secondary, which has been known to be susceptible to the big play.
Yeah, I think you probably hit that on the head. It'll be interesting to see with Indianapolis just wrapping up their division. Now they're guaranteed a home game, traveling away to a non-conference foe, how much they'll be entrenched in this game. Big win for Dallas, obviously, Sunday night again. I'm not really sure where this line is going to head. I would think that there will be points aplenty in this one. At 55, again, the DeMarco Murray injury would be a big loss to this total, but I think Randall could fill in fine, and I think there probably would be some value waiting this out just a little bit. If Murray gets announced out, I think the markets will react, probably overreact, in fact, and then that might be a decent time to look over at that stage.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you see 2.5 there, and I'm not sure the drop-off at running back, given that talented offensive line for Dallas, changes things that much. Sunday night game, Seahawks and Cardinals. The Seahawks would have been listed as a 6.5-point favorite before the injury to Drew Stanton. We now see the market only move to 7.5. Of course, it's through a key number at a touchdown. Have to imagine Seattle will be the number one teaser leg going into primetime, knowing what's at stake, a chance to basically control the division and control the NFC playoff picture, one of the lowest totals we've seen of this NFL season at 37. Do you think this number continues to climb? And, you know, is it realistic that we could see Seattle a 9.5, maybe even a 10-point favorite with all that public money as we get closer to kickoff on Sunday night?
Yeah, I mean, I think this might be the first time in a while that when the dust settles and this game kicks off, professionals could be on the Arizona Cardinals for a first time in a long time. Lindley is going to get the start here. There was a huge race, let's just put it that way, to get on this total. We saw some places open 40.5, 41 even, and there was a all-out race to bet this game under. It is going to be the right side. And when you talk about this primetime spot, the Sunday night spot, the standalone game, the public wanting to bet over, the way the over trend has continued this year, especially on Sunday night, this is absolutely a true position coming in this early in the week on the under. So I agree with that. Now at 37, a little tougher to stomach going under.
That may be time to start to explore some of those team totals that we've grown fond of, depending on how this game works out. I think the interesting reverse correlation here is that you think Arizona obviously becomes a side that it'll be the defense that'll have to step up and slow down Seattle. So that may be the angles I look to go under with the favorite team total. And, of course, the Monday night game, the Broncos on the look-ahead number were a 4-point favorite for their trip to Cincy. This number opened 3.5, and we've really seen all those hooks disappear. I would not be shocked if this price closed Denver only a 3-point road favorite as they head to the jungle to take on the Bengals. Do you agree with this move, given what we saw from Cincy, or is the market over-adjusted, given one good defensive performance against a punchless Johnny Manziel and the Cleveland Browns?
It's really tough for me because I think people listening to this podcast know I'm not a huge buyer in Cincinnati. I also wasn't a believer in Cleveland, so it was kind of the lesser of two evils this past Sunday. For me here, though, why you're going to see this move, obviously, points are at a premium the way Denver has been playing the last few weeks, getting acclimated to the ground, less of a shootout formation, so to speak. And you're expecting cold weather. And we saw Denver in that offense, and we figured Manning would probably get back on track a little bit, heading to San Diego, a little warmer weather, and that just wasn't the case. Now he's going to be in cold weather again. We know about the trends with 30-degree weather, and it should be around that range in Cincinnati. So, you know, I think professionals will be on the home dog here again. It'll be interesting to see, though, another week acclimated to his weapons getting back. You know, Julius Thomas had been out a few weeks. Demaryius Thomas was injured a little bit. Emmanuel Sanders was beat up a little bit. So potentially getting all those parts back together after having played for a full game together might change things a little bit, but I think the professionals will definitely be on Cincinnati, and we'll get into more detail on that game with next week's podcast.
No doubt about it, and I think you can also potentially see some money coming in on this game under. As we saw, it did open at 49 a few books here in Vegas. That number immediately disappeared. I think we could see a little bit of a downward trend. Of course, given its Monday night primetime slot, it would be interesting to see if the professionals wait and hope that there is some public money to buoy that price up. And Payne, before we send all of our lovely listeners on their way for the better part of the week, we need to cover the Monday night game. The New Orleans Saints, a 3.5-point favorite. We'll call them 3-20. I get 3-25 or 3.5 at most books. Total in this game has taken some money under from 54.5 down to 53. But as we've done and felt like we've burnt money at the window, can either of us make a case for the Chicago Bears here as potentially being a live home underdog?
Tough to do. It really is. It's tough to do at this stage. I think my last go-round on Chicago was against Dallas, burnt some money there. They just don't show any passion, specifically Jay Cutler. It looks like he would rather be anywhere but at the football game, and that's just tough to back that team. You get some internal issues with Cromer kind of throwing Cutler and that offense under the bus. So it's extremely difficult to make a case for the Chicago Bears. I think the books are definitely going to need Chicago. I think we're going to see, right now as it stands, I know you're bigger into the ticket count, but looks like 7 or 8 out of every 10 bets coming in on the road favorite Saints. And surprisingly, professional money is on the Saints as well this evening. So the books are going to need Chicago. I kind of do think the Saints are the side here. I think you probably see an inspired effort on the road, similar to what we saw in a primetime game on the road against Carolina earlier this year. And one thing that we've kind of seen the last few weeks, with New Orleans playing so poorly at home, some of the value on them on the road recently has been great. All the years where they were just absolutely dominating at home really made them an overvalued commodity when they went to go travel on the road, and I think the opposite holds true for this evening. And I think probably, you know, as you alluded to, some under money. I wouldn't be going full game under, though. I think we've seen kind of these games start to balloon late in the contest in the second half. If you did like the under, I'd be more more convinced going under in the first half. And if you've read any of the player quotes, we've talked about Rob Ryan and that defense kind of getting back to ABC football, trying to play fast, doing less exotic things just so his players don't have to think as much. And we also saw one interesting fold why professionals are going to be on the under in this is Chicago went out and picked themselves up a fullback this week, signs pointing to maybe a little more of the run game and getting Forte going as opposed to lining up going four wide without the services of Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, I think that the days of backing the Bears potentially as a home underdog, at least for me, have considerably passed. I did take a small position personally. Didn't get the best of the number laying 2.5, unfortunately. Laid 3 flat earlier this morning. And a little bit of a unique situation as we talk about pain. It's not all the time that, you know, we find ourselves on road favorites in this business. But as the trend emerged on Sunday, you did see the professionals backing the Steelers as a road favorite, the Jets as a road favorite, and you even saw some money on the Denver Broncos. So maybe the times they are changing. And for everybody who thinks the pros are old dinosaurs in the way they try and approach things, you have to evolve or adapt in this business, as all of us are quick to find out.
Never want to go the way of the T-Rex, adapt or die.
Definitely the case, and hopefully by the time folks listen to this podcast, if they do want to jump on that Saints bandwagon, they will have an out that offers at -3, even up to $1.20. Still maybe some compelling value there. But Payne, it's always a pleasure, and man, I can't believe the season's winding down on us. We're going to be talking Week 16 in greater detail when we reconvene on Thursday.
Yeah, season has gone quick. Playoffs are approaching, and we'll try to figure out a schedule for the playoffs, but I definitely envision Bet the Board being around at least once a week for the playoffs, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, we'll definitely have it up there. And remember, folks, use the hashtag AskBetTheBoard if you have any pressing questions that you'd like us to address on this Thursday's edition. We actually had a great question come in over the weekend, which we're going to be happy to get to in greater detail on Thursday, talking about how bettors should go about breaking down their bankroll as far as ATS and moneyline wagers if you're looking to play some underdogs. So it should be a good discussion there. For Payne Insider of PayneInsider.com, follow him on Twitter at Payne Insider. I'm Todd Furman. You can see my work at my website at Todd'sTake.com. And best of luck with your Monday Night Football selections and any games you elect to move on early. May the markets be with you, and hopefully we'll see you at the window.